From Mark chapter 2, Gospel of Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 13 and then read through verse 17. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, what we hear now is God's Word. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, I said that we could look at chapter 2 of the book of Mark as a Jesus' ministry challenge. We saw Jesus' ministry begins in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 2, the ministry is challenged in a variety of ways. Last time we saw the challenge to the authority of Jesus, and that question, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? Jesus demonstrates his authority in both areas, that he is the God who is able not only to heal, but also to forgive sins. Now we see Jesus' ministry challenged once again, this time in terms of the calling of one of his disciples, of the calling of Levi, the son of Alphaeus. It is a short text that we look at tonight, but a text that encapsulates for us the heart of the gospel. A text that, in Mark's typical, very immediate, very easy to understand style, brings us the message of Jesus Christ: "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And in that call, we see the glory of God, that he came and called us, and calls forth from us the response of obedience. Jesus is once again beside the sea. He is teaching the crowds, and as he passes by, he saw Levi sitting at the tax booth and said to him, "Follow me." Levi was a tax collector. I don't think I have to tell you that even today, we don't really enjoy having contact with this tax collector. This past week, April 15, a day that I think we put on our calendars, but not with little smiley faces and hearts. We don't look forward to April 15 as that day that we pay our taxes. Even now, when we say, "I got a letter from the IRS," there's a certain sense of apprehension. We don't enjoy those letters from the tax collectors. Levi was a tax collector, sometimes called a publican. And if we have a disapproving view toward the tax collectors, even more so in Jesus' day. Because the tax collectors were those who were really traitors to their own people. They worked for the Roman government. Rome was oppressing Israel. Rome was in control of Israel. And to align oneself with Rome was to align oneself against the people of God. They wanted to overthrow the yoke of Rome. And yet Levi, the tax collector, worked for Rome. Tax collectors were known as those who really couldn't be trusted. By law, a tax collector was not allowed to give testimony in court. Their word simply couldn't be trusted. They were excommunicated from the synagogue. They were not allowed fellowship with God's people because they were seen to be so untrustworthy. They were connivers. They were those who would take advantage of you every chance they got. Because you see, Rome required a certain amount of taxes to be paid. If the tax collector could get more than that out of you, he was able to keep the rest. What that means, kids, is if you owed $100 in taxes, and the tax collector comes with the authority of Rome and says, I want $200. Well, he got to keep the extra $100. Tax collectors were known, publicans were known for taking advantage of the people because they came with Roman authority, the authority of the government. But they would line their own pockets. Tax collectors were the social outcasts in society. In this way, they were similar, I guess, to the leper we talked about at the end of chapter 1. The lepers were the physical outcasts of society. They too, not able to go to the synagogue. They too, really, really separated from God's people. Whereas the leper was the physical outcast, the tax collector, the publican, is the social outcast. And yet, it is to Levi, to the tax collector, that Jesus comes and says, follow me. It is to this man of ill repute that Jesus speaks, follow me. And that call to follow is not a half-hearted call. It's a call to follow and to continue to follow. Jesus had called some disciples earlier. We saw that he called some disciples in chapter 1 of Mark. They were fishermen. And while they did follow, and they left their family, if their time with Jesus didn't work out for them, they could go back to fishing again. They could go back to their old business. No one would look down on them for that. They could go back to where they were before. Not so with Levi. He had to pull strings to get this tax-collecting position. It was a very hard position to get. And if you left it, you could never get back to it again. Rome would see you as too unscrupulous to trust you again to collect anything. So for Levi to hear the call, follow me, and for Levi to respond to that call, he was leaving completely his former way of life. He was leaving everything he knew. He was obviously a wealthy man, being a tax collector, and he would leave all that behind. And yet, how does Levi respond? Jesus said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. In spite of what it would cost Levi, in spite of the loss of his job, the loss of his position to continue to make more money, he left and he followed. He doesn't wait. He hears the call of Jesus and he arose and he followed him. If anyone had excuses they could make for not following Christ, it was Levi. Look what he was giving up. Look at the lucrative business he would be leaving behind. But when Jesus calls, he follows. And beyond that, beyond his own following, he now wants to share this glorious blessing, this glorious call to follow, with the rest of his fellow tax collectors. It is the most natural, normal response to the gospel. When one is called to follow Jesus and embraces that call, it is the most natural and normal thing possible to want others to experience the same blessing. So Levi holds this dinner. He reclines at the table with Jesus, many tax collector sinners in the house with Jesus, and he holds this dinner for those who also might receive then the call. Jesus eats with them. Jesus goes to them. He is not afraid to link himself with the outcast in society. Just like he went to the leper, the physical outcast, Jesus touches the leper. So now he eats at the table with tax collectors and with sinners. Jesus doesn't stay far off. Jesus doesn't say that they're beyond the pale of his call. But Jesus goes with Levi to share this glorious news, this glorious call to come and to follow me. What a beautiful picture of evangelism. The most natural response to the call of God is to want others to experience the same call. He was called, and he wants others to hear the call. And it is this dinner, then, that occasions the challenge to Jesus' ministry. It is this dinner which raises the question in the minds of the scribes of the Pharisees. Verse 16, they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors. And they say to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and with sinners? The Pharisees, those who were supposed to be the experts in the law, and in fact, the Pharisees, who were known for building all types of other laws beyond the law of God, actually had a law which said that a teacher may not recline at the table with the am ha'aretz, with the general people of the land. They saw Jesus as directly violating one of their man-made laws. Why is he doing this? Why is he breaking the law? Why is he going directly against the tradition? He's not allowed, as a teacher, to be with tax collectors, to be with sinners. And the Pharisees come and they challenge Jesus through his disciples. They knew what tax collectors were like. They knew what sinners were like. They were unclean, ceremonial unclean. They were immoral. They were those who we wouldn't want living next to us as our next-door neighbors. And yet Jesus goes and dines with them. And the scribes of the Pharisees go to his disciples and they ask them, why does he eat? Again, we see that escalation going on throughout the second chapter of Mark. First, in the last story, we saw the Pharisees and the scribes thought in their minds certain things about Jesus, and Jesus responds to them. Now, they go to his disciples, getting a little bit closer. They go to his disciples, and Jesus will respond to them. The conflict escalates throughout the passage. And in the answer that Jesus brings, we see the beauty of the gospel. And it also challenges us to reflect upon how we see those whom Jesus calls. They ask, why does he eat with tax collectors and with sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Again, that was a Pharisaic proverb. It's self-evident. You don't go to the doctor when you're well. You don't need the doctor when you're fine. It makes the most sense possible that you only need the doctor when you are sick. So Jesus, in a sense, quotes their own words back to them. Those who are well have no need of a physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, the Pharisees, they were the ones who thought they were well. They were the ones who thought that they had no need for the doctor. They were the ones who were righteous, careful, meticulous about following all their traditions regarding the law. If Jesus was going to eat with anybody, he should come and eat with them. They were the religious leaders. They were the righteous ones. What is he doing going to those who are unworthy? The sinners, the tax collectors, they were those who, in hearing the call like Levi did, would recognize their unworthiness. Would recognize Jesus didn't fit in with them. For he brought a righteousness to them. They were those who were thieves, who were robbers, who were liars, who were cheaters, who were swindlers. They were the ones whom Jesus went and ate with. The Pharisees are upset with what Jesus does because they thought they were worthy. He should be with them. And they also, by implication, thought these other ones are unworthy. They are beyond the call of Jesus. They are beyond what He could do. They don't deserve Him going to them. Because their sin is so great, it is a lifestyle of sin that they should never associate with. The Pharisees thought too highly of themselves. They thought too little of the power of Jesus to change tax collectors and to change sinners. But that's who Jesus came for. I came not to call the righteous. Those who believe that they are righteous in themselves, those who believe that by a meticulous keeping of all the traditions of the law, they could prove themselves to be right in the eyes of God, those who were righteous in what they could do. Jesus says, I did not come for the self-righteous. I came for sinners, for those who recognize their need, for those who recognize their fallenness, for those who recognize they don't deserve to eat with me, and yet I will go and dine with them. I wonder sometimes if in our own hearts, in the recesses of our own minds, while we might never admit it out loud, we sometimes think there are those who really don't belong to have a seat at the table. We would never publicly admit it, but there may be those who just don't seem to fit in our church. We, by large part, tend to be upper, middle class, well-dressed folks that God brings together. Our sins are of the we might say the lighter kind, not the grave injustices against society. And maybe sometimes in the recesses of our mind, we might think, you know, we really deserved God's call. He really should have come to us. We were not like those who do the really big sins. We were not the tax collectors. We're not the sinners. Those who were an offense against society. We live pretty decent lives. Pretty clean lives. Pretty upstanding lives. And yet when we begin to think in those terms, we find ourselves falling into the trap of the Pharisees. That we are somehow more deserving of God's grace than others. And that there are others around us who might look different from us, who might have a different skin color, a different ethnic background, a different economic condition, who aren't quite as worthy, who may find themselves beyond the pale of God's grace. Jesus says to us, it is not the well who need the physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Because you see, as soon as we begin to think that our sin is not quite so great as someone else's, we fall into the trap of thinking too much of ourselves and too little of others. God in that instance may choose to humble us, may choose to allow our sin to be known to others, to do things which would show us the depth of our depravity. And we pray that if that is God's way in our lives, that He would be gentle with us, that He would not allow us to be proud and puffed up and thinking we deserved the gift of grace, because it was a gift. Unmerited, unearned, unwarranted, we are unworthy. And yet God in Christ comes to dine with us. We do not have two classes of citizens in the church. those who are more saved and those who are less saved, those who are the real sinners and those whose sins are more palatable because we think they are. God calls all of us to acknowledge our weakness, our frailty, our sin, and to confess we are unworthy to sit at the Master's table. And yet He, in love and mercy, comes to dine with us. He goes to Levi. He takes the tax collector, the unwanted, and this man, this outcast of society, Levi, Jesus chooses as a disciple. Levi, Jesus chooses to be an apostle. Levi, also known as Matthew, Jesus chooses to write the longest gospel in the New Testament, a record of what Jesus has done. We must never believe that others or even ourselves are beyond the pale of God's grace. Sometimes we think we have done a sin that is too great. We have done something that is too far for God to forgive. Remember Levi, the tax collector, the sinner, the publican, the outcast. Jesus came by and saw him in his sin and called to him, "Follow me." If there are those of you tonight who have never truly humbled yourself before God, that same call goes out this evening. Jesus is here in our presence through the power of His Spirit and the preaching of the Word, and He says, "Come and follow me." Even if you have to leave behind everything else, your job, your family, your security, come and know the joy of being one of mine, of being used for me, Levi, the disciple, the apostle, the gospel writer. God still calls the unlikely, the unlovely, and calls us to come and sit and dine with Him. May we never think that God's grace to us was an easy thing or that we deserved it. But may we continue to look back at the way Jesus called His followers, the way He called Levi. If we ever find ourselves thinking that God's grace was less necessary for us, Jesus did not come for the well. They have no need for the physician. "I came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners." May God help us to see ourselves honestly and humbly before that call. Let's pray together.